the parish that never sleeps. I don't know what kind of parish has a wonderful, wonderful breakfast after a huge, smashing success of an event last night. Blessed Sacrament, of course, that's who. I don't know if we're gluttons for punishment or just people who like to have a good time, but I'm immensely enjoying it myself, and I've just been blessed over these past few days and this past week especially to be graced by the presence of God here in this wonderful, wonderful parish family, the gift that is this parish family. If any of you have been to an ordination of a deacon or a priest, you might know this certain gesture. As a deacon, the man is ordained for ministry. And so in a very real way, that's the moment that his life is offered. Of course, the priestly one is the one with all of the glory, but the commitment is made as a deacon. And at that moment, in the church, a priest in front of the bishop calls out to the congregation, as we're standing here, just in our white albs, not yet a deacon. And that priest, that minister of the church, calls us by name, and we stand and say, present. Another way of saying, here I am, Lord, I come to do your will. Here I am. And we're called by another, and we stand in response, present, ready to give of ourselves, and we come forward. And we have a certain spot marked in the sanctuary at the cathedral. And yes, we practiced and memorized our mark as to where we were to go. I was the third. You would imagine with D as a last name that it might be more towards the beginning, but I was the third of us. Father Trevor Buster, Father Hayden Charles called up before me. My brothers, who I went to seminary with, they go up. My name's called. I respond, present. Here I am, Lord. And we go forward. And at a certain moment, the Litany of the Saints begins. And a very beautiful gesture happens at this moment as the saints' names are sung. The men to be ordained lay down and prostrate themselves in the sanctuary, flat on their face with their arms on their forehead, a twofold gesture. Firstly, obviously one of humility, because who are we to stand before the face of the Lord? Pleading for the intercession of the saints, sung their language, this language of music, of serene joy and peace. But secondly, it's significant that we are laying down our life at the foot of the altar, laying it down literally, lest anyone be confused, us as an individual or anyone in the church there present, all seeing clearly what is happening. One of the marvelous gifts to me as a deacon, when I was a deacon, was that deacons were able to receive vows on behalf of the church for people getting married. And the first couple whose vows I received was my own brother the Saturday after my ordination as a deacon. My poor mother having to prepare for these celebrations so short of a time together. We grew up at St. Elizabeth, and unfortunately that date that they were fixated on was taken. So what did they do but reach out to the Mother Church, to whom all parishioners, all Catholics of the diocese have a right to as their Mother Church. And so they reached out and got married at the cathedral. And it just so happened that as he ascended those steps, by sheer coincidence, or perhaps a marvelous design of providence, the exact place where he stood exchanging his vows to his wife now was the same spot that I laid down my life. Our lives tangled together by providence, being my own blood brother, our lives weaved together like a candle, a wick of a candle. There, in that moment, the same physical spot where we laid down our lives for another. Why do I share this story? Because I think that it illustrates clearly that we are to lay down our life for another, and that perhaps is one of the greatest problems of society, a real problem, an existential problem, an angst. We're called to give of ourselves to another. And obviously that's opened up in the context of marriage, the words of our Lord quite clear. Now don't hear what I'm not saying. A homily on annulments and broken situations, abuse, that's a homily for a different day. So I reserve the right to have nuances that I'm not going to elaborate upon in this homily. But we are called to lay down our life for another, and that is the only way that our life makes sense. That these iron bands that wrap themselves around our lives are not chains of slavery, but a train track upon which we are to give of ourselves to another. That is the marvelous mystery that it is Christianity. That the nails that fastened him to the cross were not oppressive to him, but a source of freedom, of saving freedom that pours out upon us. That is beautiful and incomprehensible. So what are we supposed to do with this call? But perhaps today to allow the scrutiny of the Holy Spirit to search and scavenge through our entire heart, our consciousness, our awareness, our desires, everything, leave it wide open to him, to search us out, and he does it well, way beyond our control or capacities, and thanks be to God for that. But to allow this to be stirred up, because we know that in order to lay down our life for another, it's not just a one-and-done moment. That would be way too easy. Not just that moment of laying down in the altar. Not just that moment of my brother making his promise to lay down his life for his wife as Christ did, as a sacramental expression of what Christ did, his faithfulness, the fidelity of God to his people. To lay down the life for another, that has to be sustained. That has to be kindled at every single moment, every single breath. Why? Because love is something that is living. And so let us cultivate this spirit of laying down our life for another. That's what the world doesn't understand, and it can't. You can't climb out of hell. You can't have light pour forth from darkness. If the world can't understand the joy of faithful love, and I say that specifically, the joy of committed and faithful love, we see that everything falls apart. And my fellow Christians, if you are not the glue of society, what else is? That's our call, to find joy, not just superficial happiness, but to recognize if there are painful moments of sacrifice, of miscommunication, of misunderstanding, of misfortune, of circumstance, whatever it be, if it's a crucifying moment, that's okay. And we can pray as Jesus did in that moment, in that place, Father, into your hands I commend my spirit. Sustain in me a willing spirit. If it's a moment of joy, of the resurrection, of the ascension, then certainly there are both of these moments, vacillating and sometimes numbness right in between. It's all okay in this broad scope of a love that lays down our life with joy, with generosity, with fidelity. So let us hear this call of the Lord to lay down our life for one another and to see, if you're married, see in your spouse, see in your siblings, see in your friends, see in the concrete gift that is your vocation, the face to which you are to give yourself. And perhaps if we're more occupied with the face of the other, we'll be less angsty and unhappy ourselves. So for but a fleeting moment, let's put down the mirror and look at the face of another. And if we do that with genuine love, then we will see the love of the other with a capital O right there in our midst. And what a beautiful gift and serene joy that is.